welcomes this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
Morning. Thank you for this great privilege and honor to share this morning with you here. And first, I want to welcome. I understand there is one Holocaust survivor among us, so especially I want to greet you and bless you. This Sunday is being marked in thousands of churches in around Europe as a Holocaust Remembrance Sunday. And I'm just going to share quite briefly this morning with you a little bit what we do and why we do it. When I say briefly, it's not a problem. Usually I mostly speak in political platforms, and if you get 2 minutes, that's your lucky day. And I understand I will have a 2 minute plus today, so this is really my lucky day. Why do we need to remember? When I look around, I see many young people who were probably born in the 80s, 90s. And I know for many of you, and for many of the peoples in Europe of that age group, the Holocaust seems like something very far away. Someone said it's a bit like the French Revolution. You read about it in the history books, but you never really had any real encounters with what really happened. And I believe it's important for us today to be reminded of these facts year after year after year. And as a very famous Jewish writer, Primo Levi, once wrote, it has happened and it can happen again. Remembrance is also remembering what did happen. Which were the decisive points in history where things could have developed in a different direction? What did God's people do in 1933, in 1938, when we could still have, with God's grace, avoided bloodshed, avoided the loss of 6 million people, 6 million Jews being killed? And my personal calling was God speaking to me in a particular point in time where I had an encounter with him, and I could see these footages which we just saw in my inner eyes, and I thought it was awful, and I was wondering what would I have done, and the Lord corrected me. He said, that's not the correct question. The question is, what will you do today? We often think about the Holocaust as a German thing, something that the Germans should be concerned with. It's interesting if you look in history that God gave the nations, the world community, a possibility to avoid a Holocaust. There was a meeting in Evian in 1938 where Roosevelt had called together all the nations. Hitler had just occupied Austria, and there were some 300,000-400,000 Jewish people stuck. They couldn't get out. And the question was, will you nations of the earth receive these refugees? Nation after nation came up on the platform and said, well, this is a terrible problem. We agree. But sadly, at this point, we cannot do anything. One nation, and I'm not going to name and shame nations, but one nation which has a huge territory said that, well, our nation is not big enough to receive additional Jews. Another nation said that we don't have any racism or anti-Semitism in our nation, and we don't want to import it either. Nation after nation came up and said, well, we're sorry, there's nothing we can do. Hitler had his people at that conference, went back to Berlin and said, listen, Hitler, the nations of the earth does not care. They are indifferent. You can go ahead, do what you want. They are not going to intervene. And regardless of which nation we are coming from here this morning, we were part of that decision. Things could have been different. Speaking from a very British point of view, I was with the chief rabbi of Israel just a few days ago in the European Parliament of Israel, and he asked this question again. He said, we don't understand God's mysteries, but just imagine if the mandate to set up a Jewish state would have been accomplished, not in 1947 or 48, but in 1938. Just imagine all the hundreds of thousands, and some researchers say perhaps millions, that could have been saved just to fulfill the mandate. And I know that there are people in this country who are taking this very serious and made a documentary film on the Forsaken Promise, which I believe is a key message for anyone who wants revival in this great nation. To go back and say remembering is also an issue for us as British, it's an issue for me as a Finn, if we want revival, if we want to get right with God. But we also need to learn from history. So remembrance is important. We need to be reminded on and on again what did happen. At a time when there is Holocaust denial, there are people coming up and saying, well, actually it didn't happen. Well, maybe it did happen with perhaps a few hundred thousand. And see, in a few years' time, the Holocaust survivors will not be with us anymore. They can't come up here and show the marks on their bodies and say, well, this is what happened in Auschwitz to me. We'll have to rely on historical documents. Can it happen again? Elie Wiesel, or many Jewish intellectuals, have said that the biggest threat in the world is not evil as such, it's indifference. It's indifference. We perhaps know that something is happening, but we don't care. Anti-Semitism, sadly, is just as much an issue today as it was in the 30s, in the 40s. For intelligent, intellectual, rational people, it's very difficult to understand. And I think the Jewish people, for once, don't understand it. And I've been to conferences after conferences where they've asked this question, and you have very bright, intelligent professors coming up and trying to figure out explanations, but there is none. I think the only way to look at anti-Semitism, what it is, if you think of it in a medical term, you can say it's a deadly virus. If you look at it spiritually, you can say it's a principality that didn't just appear one day in Germany. It's been, if you look at the history of Europe, it's been there on and on and on and again. Six million Jews were killed in Holocaust, but 6 million Jews were killed before the Holocaust in Europe alone. And I was invited, as I sometimes am, to a very distinguished panel in European Parliament, and it was my turn to say something, and I said, listen, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I don't quite agree with the explanations until now, because what I see in the Word of God, in your Bible, the Torah, the book of Esther, is that even at this time, several thousand years ago, there was a man who had the same drive and passion, obsession, Haman, to kill all the Jewish people. And sadly, it's still the case today. Even in the United Nations, you have people who are driven, who say this publicly, openly, Holocaust did not happen, and then they go on to say, well, actually, we would like to finish off what Hitler didn't manage to do. So some of us would say, well, I would have acted differently if I was born in the 30s or the 40s. The good news is that you will get a second chance. You will get the chance to prove it. Will we be different from the Christians who were singing Christian hymns in the evening, put their children to bed, were listening to Mozart, then they got up the next morning and went to the death camp and systematically killed Jewish people? God will give us a second chance. And the defining moment for the European Coalition for Israel, as Clive rightly said, it's a coalition which, through intercession, but also through meeting with people on government level, is trying to convey this message, what the Bible says about God's everlasting covenant with the Jewish people, God's purposes and plans for the nations in the Middle East, reconciliation through Christ, and but also God's everlasting covenant with the land. Um, In 2004, there was a European survey which came to the conclusion, they were asking the question, which is the biggest threat to world peace in the world? And you guess what would be the right answer in Europe? Israel. Israel is the biggest threat to world peace. Once again, Israel is the cause, the Jewish people are the cause for all the evil that is going on. And the European Commission at that time invited people, you know, because it was such an embarrassment, to come together to an emergency summit. And Elie Wiesel, the Nobel Peace Prize winner, got up and said, because he's also a Holocaust survivor, he said, what makes me most disappointed today is not the fact that anti-Semitism is back. It is the fact that no one except for the Jewish communities seem to care. And he asked the question, where are all the others? And at that point, and that year, as Clive rightly said, we formed a coalition of all the others. You know, the Gentiles, the Christians, who are called to stand up and bless the Jewish people, who are called to stand up against the threat to the Jewish people today. And as I was preparing, coming here to Britain today, I was reminded about the life and the ministry of a person called Rhys Howell in Wales. Many of you are familiar with this great man of God, who, through his band of intercessors, prayed through the war. It was almost like they felt that God had given them the burden to pray for the protection of this nation when you were attacked by the Nazis. In a very concrete way, hearing from God exactly what to pray at a particular time, at a particular day. And also who was very instrumental in the birthing of the modern state of Israel. How God would, on the exact day when the vote was taking place in the United Nations, God, through His Spirit, would speak to these people and say, well, now is the time. I want to have a band of people that I can cooperate with, I can partner with, for my will to be fulfilled. And as I had this on my heart, and I put it in an invitation to a prayer summit that we're organizing just in a few weeks' time, because it was like the Lord said, well, I want to raise up that mantle again in Britain. I want to find those people, they can be many, they can be few, who just like the friends of Rhys Howell said, well, even if the faith of this nation depends on us, we are going to go into the gap, we are going to pray, we are going to intercede. Amen. And I challenge you here today, I know you've been in this particular time of fasting and prayer, just take this to your heart. Maybe God is choosing Horsham for this particular time in this nation. And I believe that Britain is at a tipping point. As I was praying for the new 2011, to my big surprise, the Lord put Britain on my heart. And I said, why would I go to Britain? You have all these talented, resourceful people who even speak the language better than I do. I'm a Finn. Why would I, you know, pay attention to this country? But it was like God said, listen, I want to do something in this nation. And 2011 is a decisive year, where it can go either way, and God wants it to go the right way. And just very quickly to say how this was confirmed in the most amazing way. I go to a church outside of Helsinki. 2 days later, I went there. I had coffee, like you have after a good meeting. And this couple sits down with me and said, okay, I'm so-and-so, I'm an archaeologist, I lived in Israel for so many years, and we were just about to move back to Finland. We had the flight tickets, we were calling the taxi was waiting, and we meet this lady from Wales. And we just read the book about Rhys Howell, and then we understand, we are not to go back to Finland. The taxi is waiting. God said, you go to Wales. You go to Wales and you meet these people who were praying with Rhys Howell during these years. They're now in their 90 plus. They took care of Jewish orphans during this time. They took care of children who were left in Britain while the Bible College would send missionaries out on the missions field. And they said, you care for these people the last years of their life because they have been caring for all my dearest people throughout their life. And it was like God said, because sometimes God needs to speak to me so concretely because I'm not the most spiritual guy. He really needs to get my attention. So I saw that, wow, there was really something there. This unlikely couple going from Israel to Wales instead of going back to Finland, he put them in my path. And he said, well, we even have furniture from the home of Reese Howell. You have to come and see. Come and visit. But God got my attention. And I believe this was his confirmation also for you here this morning to say that God is not finished with this country. God is about to do a new thing. And you can and you will be part of it. And in this process, just as always, when God has done something significant through missions, through an awakening, through the Clapham sect, through the Wesley brothers, through the Welsh revival, and up to where we are today, the centrality of Israel, of God's purposes for Israel, has always been there in the package. It's not the main, it's not like we are to worship Israel. Not at all. But God's purposes for his people is there in the Bible. And I think the strongest, and I'm going to finish in 1.5 minutes. The strongest, if I can, yes I can. The strongest testimony for us as a Christian coalition is when we see all these Jewish people and we come up and we are Gentile, we are white, we are black, we are Arab, we are Jewish, Messianic Jewish, and they just look at us and they can't make sense of it. What is it? You know, all these different people. We can understand if there's like a, I don't know, here in this country you have like a British, I don't know, there's, you know, very white sort of people who wants to go in a, politically in a certain direction because of ideological reasons. But when they see this mixture, Arab, Jewish, being in unity and having a love for not only the Jewish people but all the people in the region, but believing in the word of God and his covenant, they just look at us and say, wow, what is this? And the strongest, I'm going to finish with that, and it has to do with what we just saw. I always, my understanding was that we were to reach out to Europe and never pay any attention to Israel until people came up to me and said, listen, there are so many Holocaust survivors in Israel today. The interesting thing is that they are not ready to die. Because how could they die if there's a chance that nothing has changed in the world, that their children, their grandchildren will go through the same horrors as they did. And what I'm told and what I see wherever I go is that these Holocaust survivors, you know, perhaps in the late 80s, in the 90s, they come up to me, they look in my eyes and say, thank you. And we have been sending young Germans to Israel, just to come and alongside, just to help them. And again, they look, for the first time they hear the German language spoken since coming out of a Nazi camp. They look into the eye of a blonde German with blue eyes who could have been a sergeant or an SS officer, and they don't see fear anymore. And you know what is the most moving thing to hear? Is to say, listen, now we are ready. Now I have peace. I've seen that maybe the world has not changed completely around. We still have enemies, but we believe, we can see now that there is a people out there. There are believers out there today that have learned the lesson and are going to stand by our side whenever we are facing a similar threat. And that is a coalition of all the others. That's a coalition that I not only inviting you to join because I know that you're already part of it. And thanks to Colin and thanks to Clive and the wonderful leadership of this church. So once more, thank you so much for giving me this time. And let us stand strongly together for God's purposes, for this nation, for Britain, and for all the nations through the blessings that he has planned through Israel. Thank you. Sure, yes. Yeah, I will. was just asked to lead in a prayer, and I'd be happy to do so. Perhaps we can stand up and just also to show our honor to those people that we just seen and that we are honoring this Sunday. And as I said, I'm a political guy. I go up on political platforms. I know there are many great men and women of prayer who can lead us, but it's an honor to do so. So, Father, again, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the ministry, starting with Colin, who came to my city 30 years ago in a city which no one would have heard of. And just the blessing and the pioneering that has been going out from this city, from this church, as a blessing, not only to this nation, but through so many nations. And Father, I thank you for Clive and Jane and for what they're doing and their way of reaching out to the younger generation, again, in a pioneering spirit and just having such an impact, such a blessing over this nation. But Father, thank you. I just speak out here that this is only the beginning. This is only the beginning. And Father, you want to do an upgrade. Father, you want to expand the tent. You want to expand the tent in terms of influence, in terms of anointing, in terms of favor into this nation. Father, so I just bless the leadership. I bless this church. And Father, together we bless you, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Father, we just bless you for your purposes that will come to pass. And Father, we just want to align with you here this morning for your purposes, for the Jewish people. Father, for your everlasting covenant with the Jewish people and their land. And at the same time, Father, just pour out our hearts to the Arab people. Father, just bless them today. And Father, even today, as they are at the tipping point in Egypt and Tunisia and Jordan, Father, we ask for your mercy. Father, we ask for your will to be done. Father, we ask for your righteous people to come forth, Father, and to put a stop to that evil spirit that would want to take over and would want to give the people something which is much worse than what they have. Father, so just bless the nations of the Middle East today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Well, just take a seat. God has given us, as we call it, a mandate to do with Israel, especially in this nation. And next week, we have Karen and David Davis with us. And Israel, we don't seem to have to plan much at all to do with Israel. God seems to just bring people here. And we never have to think, well, who should we invite and when should they come and who do we get hold of? It's just God is orchestrating things because it is so much on his heart and it really is the center of what is going on around the world. And, you know, Thomas, we kind of said when we met him, it'd be great, when let us know when you're over. It'd be brilliant to have you, you know, come and share, come and speak. And he emailed a little while ago and said, I'm over this weekend. And we knew the Davises were coming the following weekend, next week. But, you know, during our 40 days of prayer and fasting, God is highlighting certain things because we don't just pray and fast so that we have a better relationship with God. We're praying and fasting in relation to obviously relationship with God, but also to do with his purposes and how we as a people are summoned, if you like, by God or mobilized by God around his purposes and his heart that he wants to reveal and then work out in our nation. And we have a mandate on us, and Jane and I certainly were not looking for that kind of thing. When we went, Julia Fisher said to us a few years ago, why don't you come to Israel on a leader's trip? And from that moment, kind of God did something. And then we know that David Davis, who came a few years ago, he prophesied over us as a church, as Kingdom Faith, that you're to be a lead boat in this nation and help to bring a biblical understanding of Israel to the church. And you're to pray, you're to support, do various things in relation to Israel. And, you know, today, because we're looking at the Holocaust, it's very easy to look back and say, well, that was 66, 70 years ago now. How does that impact today? Well, there's all kinds of stuff that are going on today. There is a nation on the planet that has already decreed that they are wanting to wipe Israel off the planet. They call Israel the little Satan. They call America the big Satan. And, you know, these guys have set themselves in Iran at this moment. They're building nuclear weapons and they're saying, we're going to wipe out the Jewish people. We're going to wipe out the nation of Israel. And on one level, there's a lot of talk going on behind the scene. But with all of that, there's quite a strong mindset that, well, the guys, they're never going to do that. That's ridiculous. You know, we must be able to talk our way out of it. And what is rising and what is going on in the nations now is exactly the same as it was in 1934, 35, 36, 37, 38, where the political leaders are kind of saying, well, it's just not going to happen. These guys won't do that or whatever. And the same kind of thing is coming round again and in that respect. And so what do we do? It doesn't mean we stand up with political, you know, placards and start marching the streets in that sense. But one thing we do is we go to prayer. We've just heard an amazing testimony about Rhys Howes. If you read books about the Second World War, there are phenomenal moments where, according to the facts, the Nazis should have taken over this nation, other places, done all kinds of things. But when you find out in the middle of that, there were people praying and God gave them the word, pray this. They prayed it and the natural strength that should have won was overcome by a natural weakness. But something supernatural went on that turned the thing around. And as a, you know, we are a people of prayer. And God has called us to be a people of prayer, but we need to be reminded that the power there is of intercessory prayer. That's one of the reasons why God is saying, oh, I want you to be a people of habitation, not just visitation. See, a visitation is based on God, just turn up, give me a great time, and then, you know, that feels good. But a habitation is where God comes and dwells, abides and lives amongst a group of people. And there's something of himself that is just at work. And his heart is being, I don't know, imbued is the right word. But his heart is being infused, you know, through who we are. That it's like, and we live with it, we carry it. It's not just, well, yeah, as a church, we're into that, or we're into this, or we're into a bit of that, and or some of the leaders are into that, and some of the other leaders are into the other. But actually, no, this is something that God has impregnated us with, you know, to do with the nations. So we don't have flags up where we're flying the flag for this, that, and the other. It's what is living on the inside of us that's more important than whether you got a flag about something or not, you know. And so during these days, these 40 days, you know, Thomas has been here, shared something of God's heart, but also next week also God's going to share more of his heart, and I don't know whether David will bring some kind of prophetic word or not. You know, he seems to whenever he comes here. But I think God just wants to get our attention in the middle of this 40-day fast and everything. It's what does he have a heart for? What does he have a concern for? And then how do we as Kingdom Faith plug into that in a way that is right for the mandate that God has given us? What's some of the understanding that we need to actually move with God during this season of time? And we know one of those is prayer. We know one of those is building relationships with people in the land, both Jews and Arabs, and, you know, God's heart for one new man in Christ. And those relationships are growing and developing, and a whole number of other things. But just during these days, important that in our 24/7 prayer, one of the gates is Israel. And we don't want that just to become a forgotten thing with a few people praying, but it's something that God is wanting to increase, really, in every one of our hearts and lives at this moment. It's very easy, isn't it, to look at the political scene or to look at the international scene and be negative or critical about things going on out there, and they should do this and they should do the other and everything. But at the end of the day, are those words just fall to the ground? Being critical, judgment, having an opinion, they fall to the ground. But the words that break through and have an effect are ones that are done when we get before God and he imparts something of his heart, and then we pray his will and his heart and his word into a situation. Now those words, they are full of life, they're full of power, and they do something in the spirit. And that is part of our mandate as a people of prayer, is to pray for the nation of Israel, is to pray for God's purposes, to pray for the nations. And it sounds massive, doesn't it? I mean, like, well, a bunch of people sitting in a building in Horsham in the middle of Sussex, you know. Well, you know, we've got a big God. He doesn't matter. He doesn't mind where we are, where we live, or out in the bush, or whether in the middle of the biggest city in the world. God doesn't live in a city, does he? He doesn't live in the country. God sits enthroned in the heavens. And so when we talk to him and we connect with his heart, man, his ear listens, and he then responds and moves and does something on the earth. That Rhys Howes and his guys, they're in the middle of Wales, in the middle of nowhere, but yet they actually were a massive determination on the course of what happened during the Second World War, which most people don't really know about. How many of you fancy in the middle of Sussex being a people that, through the prayers of the saints, if you like, the aroma that goes up to the throne of God or to his nostrils is something that helps to shape the future of this nation. It shapes the decisions that are made in our nation. We know God is placing people in Parliament in different places. One or two guys from here are getting more involved in that. And God does practically place people like Thomas. You've got to have the people in there as well. But, you know, the weightiness of God, if you like, that then breaks through is the prayers of the saints. That's the weight that gives. What Jay and I loved about these guys, Thomas and all the guys when we met them in Brussels, was that they're not just political animals. Well, they're not political animals at all. But they're not just there with an agenda. We want to, you know, the first thing that we encountered was how much is soaked in prayer. We need to pray about that. Well, and different people were asking them questions, and they were honest. Well, we don't know. We need to go and pray about that one. We need to hear from God before we know how we need to move. That's brilliant. Because it's very easy to go, yeah, we're going to do this, that, and the other. But these guys, they soak everything in prayer. God, what are you saying here? How do we move there? What's the right thing to do in this situation? And as you picked up, Tom's got a great spirit, you know, and a real sensitive spirit and real heart for the things that God has a heart for. So let's stand, okay? Time's running out this morning, but we're just going to pray. And then I'll obviously have the offering, one or two other things we just need to do this morning. Father, I thank you that during these days, you are imparting more of your heart into our hearts and into our lives. Father, I thank you that you're revealing more of who you are during these days into our lives. But Father, we know it's not just so that we have a greater feeling of who you are, or just be at peace with you in a greater way, or just feel, everything's all right now because I met with Jesus. I thank you that you, as well as encountering us and us encountering you, it's for the bigger purpose of the salvation of the nations. And Father, that sounds massive, but I thank you that you've got us caught up in something that's so much bigger than ourselves, but yet somehow you're going to work it out through your people here and in other parts of this nation. But Father, we just pray during these days that the mandate that you've placed upon our lives, that we wouldn't just say it's something that Clive and Jane are into, or Pastor Connor and Caroline, or Pastor Jonathan and Helena, or the other elders and leaders and one or two guys that seem to be into Israel. Just, Father, I ask you that you'd impregnate every one of us in a fresh way during these days with what you have a heart for, the people, the nations, and that we'd be quick to respond as you summon us to be a people who pray, who respond, who act, who give, who do whatever in relation to what your heart is and what your purposes are. So, Father, I thank you for these days. I thank you for this morning. Father, I thank you for the significance of today and what's going to happen next week also. Father, we ask you to bless Thomas. Bless the European Coalition of Israel as they seek to help guys from all over Europe that are Christians come together initially to be believing, to agreeing, and to work together for your purposes in Europe, Father, to help bring understanding of what you are doing and to change hearts and to open up doors of opportunity in different parliaments with the legal document they've put together for the legitimacy of nation of Israel. Father, I thank you that you open doors for that no man can shut. To show the legitimacy of Israel as a nation legally, Father, you would open up doors into parliaments to keep people all over Europe in this coming 15 months, that they'll be amazed at what you do to get this document into the hands of the people to see actually what the real truth is and what the real facts are about that nation. So, Father, we thank you. We praise your awesome name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's really thank the Lord, shall we?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.